You are listening to Build, Excite, Equip, easy change management for project teams. I am your host, Nicola Graham, coming to you as a business change manager, entrepreneur, and author. As well as discussing top tips and tricks for project teams to use to improve your project adoptions. Let's get started. Hello, everybody. This is Nicola Graham, and I am on my third podcast of the new launch. So welcome, and for those who have returned, thank you very much. I hope that the last two have been useful for you. I am joined here today with my business colleague, Anna Yeomans. So hi, Anna.
Hey.
I very much wanted to bring Anna on because actually she's definitely the brains behind this organization and doing a lot of the stuff that we are seeing, but actually somebody needs to actually do the doing of. So I thought I would go a little bit rogue on us today. Obviously we talk a lot about the book and we're talking about tips and tricks and things like that, but actually we had a really interesting conversation earlier this morning, and it really did lead to us doing this podcast today, because we started talking about how different generations and their experiences can bring in a different outlook and view and impression and way of working. And I always laugh about this, but I'm pretty old school now. I'm in a later generation. I've got a lot of wisdom and experience in my life, and I can be quite set in, an old fashioned way of working at times. And I wanted to bring a real life example to you today, because actually Anna and I have worked together. What has it been now, Anna?
Gosh, about 4 years now.
Yeah, gosh, yeah. Four years. And I'm going to, I'm going to be very proud to tell this, but obviously you were fresh out of university working very hard when you did join the team. And actually what you've been able to bring along the journey is such a different look and approach to the way that we've run everything from, working with clients and looking at projects and looking at change itself. And, you've always come up with these wonderful ideas. And we're obviously sat here today. We've got the foundation and the practitioner course, self-paced now, up there live, going for its life. And obviously we're getting some really great feedback. And I felt that it was a really good opportunity to obviously promote you in this and, kind of highlight the fact that you were absolutely the machine behind all of this that really helped create that training course. But I also thought it'd be a really good opportunity to talk about standardized approaches when it comes to being a project manager. Again, I'm going to put my old school hat on in this and think, right, whenever I've led a project or I've been in a change role, I always kind of tackle training in a very siloed way. Okay. And what I mean by that is we need a trainer, that trainer needs to come in. And guys, remember, I advocate actively black and white in my book, professional trainers are a different skill set and you definitely need them in certain situations. But I also talk in my book, and I'm a strong advocate for open source information. So I often say, look, Microsoft, for example, if you're doing a Microsoft 365 rollout, I'm sure the whole world's on Microsoft now or Google, but if you're doing some sort of a rollout where you are dealing with a particular a SaaS supplier, for example, they will have a good amount of training that you can use at that point. So you can go and use that open source. However, obviously we don't have that when we did our practitioner course. We had to create our own materials. And being a smaller company, obviously we really had to go into the tool bag, didn't we, and think about things that we needed to do. So today's podcast is very much focused on actually Anna and asking Anna how she took my book, The Build, Excite, Equip model, and started to digest that and break that down into bite-sized pieces that people could actually have a couple of minutes at a time and create that self-paced video. And recently, obviously, I mentioned in my first podcast, we're actually going out to trainer-led courses as well now. So watch this space, guys. They are coming soon. But I have since had an outside, very professional trainer, Justin, look at the videos, and his feedback made my weekend. He was like, wow, this is really great content. It is easy to read. It is easy to hear. It is greatly digested. And that's down to you, Anna. So I thought you could welcome our listeners with some top tips, really, on how you did that. And if they are creating any kind of video, training videos, anything like that, what would they do?
Sure. Big question. And looking back into the past. But yeah, in terms of the training courses, obviously, we had your book, and I did spend some time working with you on that and how you created it, how you're writing, and how you brought your voice through to it. Mm-hmm. So obviously we had that, but turning a book into a training course, that's a completely different medium.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Even from whether that goes into being a video or into a quick guide. So I think the first thing is you really have to think about what is your medium and how do people receive information in that medium. So a book, people know they're going to spend time on it. They want to get invested. They want to hear that conversation. Whereas a training video, they just want to get to know the knowledge as quick as they can. Let's be honest, we all have a lot of information that we consume all the time. So you just want to kind of get those main points and takeaways from that. So getting that long form written conversational content into a very clear training video was the first challenge, for sure. One thing for training videos, I would say, is you have to make them, as I say, clear. You need to make them concise. Also, use the language you use.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be a lot more simple English, because you never know what level of English anyone has either.
Yeah.
Which is, of course, very different to how you wrote your book. I mean,
yes.
You know that, yeah, it's very much coming from your voice and your personality showing in the book. Do you feel that the training courses, I don't know, from your perspective, can you see that difference?
Yes, absolutely. And that was one of the things that really impressed me, because working across several different countries at a time, you begin to recognize that actually English is not always, and even obviously we're London girls, right? Even in London, we don't have the, not everyone is speaking the mother tongue. And it is very quick. It can be very quickly misinterpreted if you use very challenging language. And so when you're in a book and it's black and white, people have time to stop and digest it. And like you said, you know, it's the way that they're transferring that knowledge is very much a slow paced, let me read, let me work out what that word means. But when we speak, obviously we are speaking in a very different context. And I think that when you first gave me the scripts to do the voiceovers with, I was very impressed with the use of simple tone. And I think you're absolutely right, Anna. That is one of the most important things that you need to do when it comes to training videos. Make sure that it's... I've always said, if an 11-year-old can read it and understand it, then it's simple enough. If they can't, then you need to go down again and make it more simple.
Yeah. And again, though we're not covering more quick guides today, you can't... That, again, is a completely different way of writing it.
Mm.
And even if you're doing a short form... quick reel, or we call them what's in it for me's here, but reel and TikTok will resonate with everyone. That again is completely different. So tip number one is know your medium and make sure that you are sticking into that.
Brilliant.
Tip number two with the training videos is making sure you have a flow and then breaking that down into digestible content. So I think the longest video in our course is perhaps 2.5 minutes. Most of them are around 1.5. But you need to make sure that within the section, they do all flow. So it's not too jarring when you go on to the next one, but it's digestible enough that you could leave it and come back the next day. So that would be my second tip, is making them short, but making them flow. And so it carries on and continues from each other.
I think that's, you know, that's a really good point to make, actually, because there is a chance that people could take that advice and make that mistake of just talking for 10 minutes and then going, well, we'll just break it down. But actually, it doesn't work like that. You know, you were very good at putting a kind of a, not an intro, because an intro makes it sound like I'm like talking too much, but you had a very good, clear way of going, okay, now we're going to talk about key stakeholder engagements. And then you finish that by, great work, let's do the quiz. So, you know, those open and closed captions, I think, for me, is where you were able to make them short videos but still flowed into each other. So, very good tip.
So, in a context of a system you may be putting out, you may be talking about a profile page and how to set that up and think, okay, there might be five different things that I need to tell people here. So, how can I build that flow through five shorter videos rather than it being a, as you say, 10-minute long video? And then the next thing I'd say, tip number three, is don't be scared to do things a bit differently, to play around with the different visuals. As you know, again, in this fast-paced world, like, visuals are key, and how you're going to attract people's attention is key. So even if you are doing a demonstration of a system, maybe put some boxes, maybe make it pop out. And our video editor, Carlo, is amazing at all of this. You'll notice our any of our training videos that zoom in and things like that. And that can be done simply. You don't need necessarily a video editor. There are some great tools out there now.
Yeah.
My favorite being Canva. But there's also, if you're a Microsoft user, Clipchamp and things like that. And yeah, just so we use whiteboard style in ours, but you could use sort of more pop-ups next to the videos or anything like that. So yeah, just sort of change it up a bit, make it interesting, make people want to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and obviously we did end up with a video editor. Carlo is amazing, and he's a great member of our team. But there were times where you were giving him samples as well, and you were using these tools. So listeners, don't sit there and think, oh yeah, but you had a video editor. It wasn't the case. Actually, Anna took these tools to start with. And I think one of the ones you found, Whiteboard, Carlo ended up using, right? And doing it himself. So everything that we've done on the videos has actually started with Anna and then obviously been distributed to our video editor. So, you know, you've made a really great pair that way. And I really liked what you say about the change of the videos. Obviously, in our course, there are unfortunately some with my ugly mug on it talking to you, making it more personal. Like when we spoke about experience and things like that, it was more of a feature of myself. And then that zoom of the whiteboard was fantastic. And then obviously we could then start to put diagrams. Again, going back to your point before, Anna, around language and understanding, pictures do speak 1,000 words, right? So we were able to then start using that diagram and that whiteboard in to really pop that out and change the visual feeling.
Just a quick one. Finding yourself always learning about the theory of change management, but never knowing where to start? Sounds like you need a course that's going to give you the practical information and resources. And that is exactly what Be Change's Practitioner Be Methodology course does. It strips out those bulky change activities and gives you the ability to lead change yourself immediately. If you are interested, click the link below and check out the courses online. And then back onto the language you were just talking about, as well as we do always include subtitles in our videos, because they just really help anyone to understand. You may be in a situation where someone can't have the sound on, so at least they still get the content. So for accessibility reasons, it's just really important, and we always will add our subtitles onto all of our videos just to really raise the level of accessibility, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Any other top tips for us, Anna?
Top tips? I think just have a go, and it's not as difficult. I mean, there's so many tools now, and you can break it down, and you do kind of get used to using them and sort of as you go on. But I do think the shorter training videos are really working well. I mean, we've all been in the situations on a live demonstration, right, trying to talk through a system with some blank cameras. So trying to shake it up and make people want to watch your stuff is, the most important thing, I think.
I think I'm going to add to one of your top tips, and this is an observation more than anything. Playback speed is amazing. So poor Anna has had to listen time and time and time again to all of the scripts and the videos that we've created. I mean, what did we do? About 200 short videos in that course? Yeah. And you've obviously had to, give direction to say, right, cut it at this time and, restart it at that time. And through that, I know that you've got very good at listening to me on two times. I think we're on 2x speed now, aren't we, Anna?
I mean, unfortunately, you can't go above 2x speed. Otherwise, I think I would. Even when I listen to podcasts or YouTube videos now, 2x, it's not quite enough.
We were just laughing. Carlo, our video editor, is probably going to really enjoy this podcast because he doesn't have to listen just to my voice for a change. So, maybe 2x speed if you need to do a lot of video editing will help as well.
And I'd say on that as well is make sure you just speak at a neutral pace while you're filming or doing any voiceovers, because that is another great accessibility tool that people can speed them up and they can slow it down as well. Mm. So just speak at a neutral, normal speed and people can adapt then to what they need.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that's amazing. So if you want any more top tips from us, actually, firstly, thank you for joining us today, Anna. I appreciate the last minute podcast that I got you to do today, but I knew that you would speak so well about exactly the experience you've had. Guys, if you want any more top tips, both Anna and I are on LinkedIn, so you can go ahead and link in with either of us. We will put that in the podcast information for you. So if you do have any questions for Anna, I'm sure she'd be more than glad to hear from you and receive those questions that she can answer. Make sure you sign up to our podcast if you want more of these top tips or just have conversation with us. And we're always looking for real life examples where we can give you our experiences and how we're feeling on our own journeys. So until the next time, we hope that you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week, and we will see you soon. Thanks and bye-bye.